Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. Doc is here in the studio. We're going to do a show today called Heavenly Sign. Heavenly Sign. I think you can guess what that means. We're going to talk about the moon and the sun and the stars. We're going to talk about why they're there. Do they have some meanings to us besides just light in the daytime and a moon hovering over? Do they have, are there something prophetic that we need to be understand about these heavenly bodies? Let me read a verse for you, and then we'll bring Doc in here. Psalm 19. Boy, what a passage this is. Verses 1 through 3. It's actually through verse 4 here, but the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God did that. The Bible says he created the stars, and it's fun. It's almost humorous. But no, he says he created the moon, and then he says he created the stars also, like an afterthought. I mean, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And it goes on to talk about there is no speech nor knowledge where their voice, these heavenly bodies, the stars, the moon, the sun, where their voice is not heard. And so the heavens declare some. They speak something. That's what this passage is saying. They have a message for us. So is there a message that we need to be paying more attention to in these final days? Stay tuned. Greetings, everybody. I can't wait to get into today's program. So we want to appreciate every one of you, our viewers out there all over the country, all over the nation on CTN, and the you folks down there in Arkansas and VTN. And, of course, people listen a lot of different ways, Roku. Somebody just watched via YouTube. And we appreciate every one of you. We are a viewer-supported network, and we're here because of the gifts of people like you that are watching today. And whether it's a big gift or a small gift, amen. God blesses it. Okay, thank you so much for keeping us on the air over 6 years now. It's hard to believe. Okay, Doc, I read Psalm chapter 19. I love that passage.
It's a great psalm.
It's almost telling us that the heavens have a language.
Yes,
and it can be understood in any language. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard.
I think it's just the fact that it's impressing upon number one. It's impressing upon everyone globally, that there is a God.
Yeah.
And when we see these things and people call them signs, he said it declares his glory. And I think we fail to realize that when we see these things and we talk about them like some we're going to talk about, the real purpose for it is that we can see that God is omniscient.
Yeah.
He's omnipotent.
And I know we'll get to it later, but do you plan to talk about the Star of David? Is that in your plan?
No, I hadn't talked about
it. To me, that is one of the most amazing things.
It's interesting.
And I got this from you a long time ago. My phone is on, and that's not usually it. Steve Remy, Pastor Steve Remy called. we'll call him back. That's never happened before on the show that I can remember. Where I didn't turn and have my phone off. But anyway.
Shame on you. I'll mark that one
anyway,
up.
Anyway, it's Pastor Steve Remy's fault. And I should answer it here live on the show.
No,
here.
Amen.
And, all right. It's interesting. And I got this from you a long time ago. I had never thought of this before. And you mentioned that on day 4 when God created the sun, moon, and the stars, that whatever, and there's disagreements on what the wise men saw, whether it was an actual star. I agree with you. We talked about this the other night, you and I. I watched a video many years ago about called the Star of David. I think that man's on something.
Star of Bethlehem.
Yeah. He talked about, I think, three planets coming together.
Yeah. Now, there were actually five, very similar to the six that's approaching us.
Okay. But the point was, whether you believe it's that or you believe it's a literal star, whatever it was that those wise men saw in the east,
yes,
it was placed in motion
on day number four.
4,000 years before it was needed to be seen by those men in the east.
Exactly.
And give them a sign, hey, it's time to go to Jerusalem. A king's just been born.
That's it. And there are a lot of reasons for that, and I cover that in my presentation on the truths of Christmas story.
Yeah.
There's both historical documentation along that lines, as well as now with computers, there's the ability, because all of the heavenly bodies are consistent. They're not random. So we're able to take that with a computer. You're able to turn time back to see night skies anyway. But we need to, I think, right up front here in this program to make sure we help everybody understand that astronomy is not a bad thing. Astronomy is simply the study of heavenly bodies.
Right.
And it's your astrology. Bible is filled with astronomy.
I think when you hear astronomy, some people automatically think
of astrology. Yes.
Until you hear both words in the same sentence.
That's
right. Yes, I understand now.
I know. But, you know, I mean, I don't know if it still is today. I don't read any of these periodicals. But there used to be, pages in these periodicals at the checkout stand where you could get your horoscope.
Yeah.
I suppose that's
probably... I think they still do that.
Probably still do those kind of things.
I think now it's a horoscope.
Horoscope. because astrology is the idea that activities on planet Earth are governed by movements of heavenly bodies. In other words, if you're born in certain months, at that time, a certain constellation is the predominant constellation that is seen from where you live. So they give you a name associated with that constellation.
And isn't Greek mythology tied into this too?
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. But all that goes back to the mysteries of Babylon. But so astrology is the idea that, boy, this is happening in my constellation and these movements are happening. That means that, oh my goodness, I'm not going to leave the house today. It's too dangerous. That's not astronomy. Astronomy is understanding that on day number four of creation, God put them up there. You might read for us Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through at least verse 14.
Okay, let me read that. Great passage.
Yes.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them," these lights, "be for signs," he mentions that first, "signs, and for seasons, and for days and years." In other words, to the calendar dates and the yearly cycle.
Absolutely.
Isn't it interesting that so many people discredit and they ignore the signs?
That's right.
That was mentioned first.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when you go to 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 1, verse 22, if I remember right, the Jews seek after a sign.
Yeah.
And God has always used, because a few years ago we had the Blood Moon Tetrad, and everybody was in a big hoopla about all of this, and for good reason. But because you had the first blood moon that fell on the first feast day, and the second blood moon fell on the last feast day of Jewish festival season. What are the coincidences that would happen? Well, it's an astronomical, almost impossibility they could, especially when you consider it's happened, what, 7 or 8 different times, always on those days. Now, here's what it does. It goes back to Psalms 19. The heavens declare his glory. When you see that, you realize that God knew on day number four of creation that when he set the moon up there in its orbit, in its order, he set them there. The Bible says in verse number 16 or 17, verse 17 said, and he set them in the firmament. And so when God did that, he knew at that moment that in the future, he was going to, 2,000 years or so, he was going to give Moses the law and the feast season.
Yeah.
And you can back up before that. He knew the exact day he was going to land the ark on Mount Ararat. And he was going to take that day and move it into the feast season of First Fruit Sunday. So when God on day number four set all of these in their positions, programmed them like you would program a computer to do certain things at a certain point in time to announce. So the heavens were announcing. The blood moon tetrads, I'm convinced, was simply God. At best we can tell, the first one on record was when Moses had the law and the children of Israel said, God says, this is what I'll do if you do, and the children says, and we'll do, and God made a commitment with them. And I'm convinced that every one of those blood moon tetrads down through history were points and times where God was once again simply trying to say to Israel, I'm still ready to stand behind what you agreed with me on. All you got to do is come back to me.
Yeah.
I think so. Signs, for us to say that signs in the heavenly bodies is of no importance, that's not true. It is demonstrating the glory of God, that God in his omniscience knew at points in time in history when certain things would take place and that the heavenly bodies would be designed to announce that God knew this in advance. I don't know about when you see it in that light, you cannot help but understand what David is saying. Wow, it declares the glory of God.
If anybody wants more on this, we're talking about tetrads now, but we're not really explaining what they are. We're not going to bother with that.
Just
in
one
my
of many
book,
things.
God's Final Jubilee. This is the old Jubilee book. One of them. This is before the mystery book came out. God's Final Jubilee, the 2016 revised edition. You'll have to call and see if we have any. I know I have a few, but I don't know how many I've got. I could print some more, I guess. But this had a chapter in here that I didn't put in my newer book. And it says here, Doc, there were seven tetrads in a 2,000-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain what a tetrad is. I explain all this stuff about. This was real. This was not fake. People were fighting over this stuff. These are real. This is scientific.
Absolutely
true.
Right.
And biblically true. And there's reasons.
And historically, you can look back through history.
Things happen.
And find correlating events with Israel. Yep. Absolutely.
Every one of these things, these tetrads, these seven of them, something interesting happened.
Well, of course, time will run out if we don't get on with it.
Yeah, you've got some slides to show.
Yeah, put up that first slide. Because I know where we are today. when this is aired, this will already have passed. And if you've not been watching, you ought to go back and pick up on this. I believe it's on the 12th of August that this is going to take place, an alignment of six planets. And if you get up on that morning before the sun actually breaks into the horizon, in most places, if the sky's clear, you'll be able to see these in an alignment with us. This does not happen very often. Now, here's a unique thing, Dan, that the day before, there is going to be a solar eclipse. Now, it won't be one that we will see. Even if you lived on the East Coast, up in Maine, where you came from, you would still only be in about a 3% of being able to see the edge of it. But it's going to come across the Arctic, across the North Pole. It's going to come across Greenland and make its way on a circle and end at sundown in Spain.
Hmm.
It's an amazing. So here's the thing, a heavenly sign. I don't know. Does it mean that this is going to cause something to happen? No, but it could mean that God knows that something is going to happen.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's unique. Here you have a solar eclipse, then followed by an alignment of six planets. And historically, you can look at the documentation on it, you'll find many times when some of the most major events recorded in history happened in very similar instances. Not always with the same six, but usually in the alignment of two major ones, Saturn and Pluto.
So with Saturn and Pluto and some of these things you were telling me about,
it's amazing.
There's some big things that happen in relation to these.
Yes,
guys.
Absolutely. In our update, I explained what from the scripture in Isaiah 45 or 42, verse 5, it says, "He that created the heavens and stretched them out." In verse 12, in chapter 45, Isaiah 45, 12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded." Well, back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 17, he said, "And God set them in the firmament." In other words, the heavenly bodies operate like a huge mechanism. Somebody has designed each star, each comet, each planet in its order. He's put them in their line, the Bible talks about. He stretched them forth on their line. It's like somebody, and we know who that somebody is. That somebody was God. He set every one of these in the heavens, the firmament. You've got to understand day number two, creation, the firmament. And then from there, after he set them there, he stretched them out into what we call the universe. The light did not take millions of years to come from that star to us. The light started here and God stretched them out there. But God knew that at any time in the future, when he put all this together, he knew the exact date. We talked about it earlier, the exact date whenever he was going to announce in the heavenly bodies the birth of Jesus, 4,000 years in advance. So when he put it all together, he put everything out there. Nothing out there is in chaos. Mm-hmm. Everything is in its place. So when you see them line up like they do, which many times only happens every 100 years, maybe every 140 years, some planetary alignments are something that happens every 12 years. Others is every 14 years. Some are ever 7 years. These tell us that somebody put them there to operate exactly like they do. God did that on day number four of creation.
Yeah.
So when you see any of this, it demonstrates to you the handiwork and the glory of God.
Now, Doc, I can't prove that. I'm going to do some research. Maybe you can help me with this, but I want to look at some dates in the future, that some possible second coming dates.
Sure.
I know it's stretching it. I mean, trying to figure that out. But I personally think that when Christ came the first time,
he already had it set.
There was a star, which was probably those planets, already set in motion to announce to somebody that it's here.
Exactly.
I think when at his second coming, I think there'll be something in the heavens.
And if there is, it will be something that's explained away by UFOs. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, when I say that, I mean is on the white horse, I mean.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there'll be anything for the rapture. I want to look at that, too.
It might be. The rapture is going to be a major, important thing.
But he created this thing, and he showed his coming as a baby with the star and the planets.
Absolutely.
That the wise men knew. I think it's very possible. Now, there may be something for the rapture,
too.
Well,
it says he's coming like lightning out of the east.
Yeah.
So, yes, very possible. Let me just give you a few things that I unearthed getting ready for our program today, because you told me a little ahead of time what we were going to talk about, and I thought, well, I'll do a little research. And take, for instance, Saturn and Jupiter and Mars in a triple conjunction. During that time, August 1588, was the defeat of the Spanish Armada, which put England to become the dominant naval force.
That was a pretty big deal. I've seen movies about it.
Very big deal. Of course, the Star of Bethlehem. 7 BC. Once again, you have these conjunctions, Jupiter and Saturn and Pisces and all these things. Halley's Comet was one of the things in 1066. The Norman Conquest, they took it as an omen, and they invaded and won a victory.
William the Conqueror.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then even more recent in our time, during the Saturn and Neptune in the constellation of Capricorn, you find the Tiananmen Square took place. I mean, these are things, the historical parallels, the Berlin falling, so many major things happening. Was it that these movements control that? Or was it the God who set them in order that would happen at a certain time, knew history in advance, which we call prophecy?
Yeah.
It shows the glory of God.
You've got the JFK assassination under one of these.
That's right. Saturn and Pluto. Saturn, a king star, and Pluto, devastation and destruction. What happened at the end of that JFK assassinated? Our American culture completely changed. Because the next president that came in, we started the Big New Deal and the next
Vietnam
thing and the
War
next thing.
All
of this come about that. Even the Korean War was in conjunction with Mars and Gemini and so many. One place I looked at, somebody has spent a lot of time grouped together. They've listed 128 such events historically. Even did you realize that Mars and Venus and Pluto in conjunction in Capricorn coincided with the invasion of Russia into Ukraine?
Wow.
And I'm convinced the Russian-Ukraine war is important for helping set the stage for Ezekiel 38. I think it's one of the different pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over and over and over. May 28th. Under this same thing, the UK, did you realize in 585 BC, a solar eclipse inspired the truce between the Lydians and the Medes? August 27, 413 BC, lunar eclipse, plus superstition proved deadly for the Athenians. They thought that was a sign to conquer, and they were running. It was a sign they got their full defeat. It is on and on and on, including the Black Plague and many other things.
Lunar eclipse saved Christopher Columbus from starvation.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, the history is he had this because his the worms had gotten into the boat. The boat was needing repaired. He got on this island, and the natives was taking care of them. And all of a sudden, the natives decided they wouldn't participate anymore. They just let them starve to death. And all of a sudden, they had a solar eclipse, and they said, "Oh my!" Because Columbus studied the charts and he knew that a solar eclipse was coming. And he told them, if you don't feed us, a solar eclipse came, it's his story.
You don't feed us, we're going to shut the sun off.
Exactly. And so was the heavenly bodies, did any of these heavenly bodies in their movements bring any of this about? No. But God in his foreknowledge put these in day number four of creation, put all of these instruments to do all of those very things at a very time that would be announcing these events.
Yeah.
So when the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, that is a mighty big encompassing statement.
Yeah, and which leads me to think, like I said earlier, it just would seem to me that God's going to have something in the heavens at his second coming on the white horse.
Right.
Like, does the king planet, Saturn or Jupiter?
Yeah. We've got another slide to put up there. I think we have three more.
There you go.
During this is what's going to happen. Also, the night of the alignment of the stars, the tail of a comet that passes through ever so often, is going to leave in the heavens as the earth passes through it. It's Perseids. It is a It's going to be the night out of all of the year where you're going to see what's called more shooting stars. They're really not shooting stars. They're the debris from a comet that, as it enters into our atmosphere, is going to look like what we call shooting stars. Show the next slide. And what's going to happen that night, August 12th and 13th, during this period of time, there'll be, you will be able, no matter where you are on planet Earth, you will be able to see anywhere from 4 to 40 every minute.
Yeah.
And I know for people that believe in a flat Earth and doesn't think that the Earth is moving around the sun and all that, I'm sorry, but you've missed out on something here. So you just stay in bed and don't even go outside and look up and see the handiwork. Again, the heavens declare the handiwork and the magnificent power of Almighty God. Wonderful truth.
It is. That's.
I think there's one more slide she can show there, and we'll be through with those slides. Some of those will be much brighter than others because depending on the size of the debris that enters in about 60 miles up in the atmosphere, the size of it, the bigger it is, the more brilliant, and the longer it's going to last. That's simple. So anyway, those are things that are coming. Already, when this is aired, no doubt probably happened. I hope you got to see some of it.
Now, folks, this means several things, but let's close with something real important, redemption.
Amen.
What does this mean? This means that God has a plan.
Amen.
Right from the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God already had a plan. He already saw that coming. He didn't make it happen, but he saw that it would. God had made provision, and he's made a provision for you as well.
Yes.
You are a sinner just like I am. And you need Jesus. And he's the propitiation. He's the substitute. He's the only one that can take your sins away. He paid for them. The blood shed on that cross.
Thank you, Lord.
I see the blood, I will pass over you. But there's something you have to do. You have to place that blood on the doorpost of your home.
Yeah.
Now, that's typology. What does that mean? You've got to have the blood applied to you. Which means you personally, sometime before you die, once you die, it's too late. Because when you die without Christ, he doesn't see the blood, you go to hell. That's not a good place. He's looking for the blood. If you've trust him before you die, which means you realize you're a sinner, you realize I'm guilty, I can't be in the presence of God, but God did something so that I could be restored. I could be redeemed back to him. He paid the sin debt. And he died and was buried, and he rose from the grave.
Amen.
And he offers to save me if I simply put my trust in him as my personal Savior. The blood will be applied. You won't see it physically, but God sees it. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's salvation, as simple as it gets right there.
Yes.
Have you been saved today? You're ready to meet him? I hope so. Well, till next time, keep your eyes on them skies.